Well, Alvy Belkin is an Israeli filmmaker. He has brought his first English language documentary. Mike Wallace is here. The film explores the complicated legacy of one of the most fearsome interviewers ever to Sundance. He was unable to join us, but in his place, I have producer Raphael Marmore. Good morning to you, and thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I would have asked Avi if he was here, I mean, as an Israeli filmmaker, why his interest in Mike Wallace? I mean, of all of the subjects in the world, why this American?
Well, I've heard Avi answer this question so many times, so I can confidently do so. He had kind of grown up listening to or watching 60 Minutes and Mike Wallace, so he was an icon in his life. But what inspired Avi to make this movie was looking at where the situation of broadcast journalism at the moment, and finding a story that really allowed us to understand how did we get here? How did we get to the place where we are now, which is, you know, it's really like a tipping point. And looking at the career of Mike Wallace, which really spans almost, it's 60 years. So it's almost every big juncture in the story of broadcast journalism. And what this story allowed him and us to do is to really tell the story of broadcast journalism through this very specific and personal story of Mike Wallace and his career. And the idea is have a real understanding of how we got to this place where we are today.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about it because the film is all archival, and I guess I didn't really understand that until I watched it. I mean, there are no talking heads here that you went out and interviewed. Can you talk a little bit about how that is different? I mean, just based on going through the troves of archival footage as opposed to going and scheduling interviews and kind of getting the story that way?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a very, very different process, and it's a much more difficult process in the sense that you don't really have the control to go and ask the questions to help along the story the way you'd want to help along the story. So what we had to do, we were given the privilege to have access to the entire 60-minute archive, which is literally every outtake from over, you know, 50 years of 60 Minutes. So literally thousands of hours of footage. And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse because it's just a lot more work. But within that, we were really able to tell this incredibly kind of specific story in a very unique way, because you don't see a lot of films that do that simply because it's much more challenging.
So that's where you got the Barbara Streisand calling him an SOB.
Yes.
That was not on air. That was an outtake.
Correct. Most of the things you see in the film were never on air. They were outtakes.
Okay. Oh, so we didn't get to hear O'Reilly with him calling him a dinosaur? Mike Wallace a dinosaur.
Yeah. I mean, there's little snippets that were from, you know, what actually made it onto air, but actually most of the stuff that was interesting to us to help us tell the story. Remember, what goes on air is 1 hour out of probably 10 hours from what they film and, you know, what they, you know, they have to, from shooting the B-rolls and interviews and, you know, then you put together the 1 hour piece. So having access to all of those other hours is, you know, allowed us to, you know, tell the story.
So that's why you used a lot of the split screen
Yes,
in the film, to be able to show Wallace's reaction to the interview.
Exactly, because we have, you know, they shoot the interviews with two cameras, so you're able to see how Mike is reacting to what they're saying and vice versa, which, you know, obviously they're only using one when it goes on air.
Speaking of telling the story, I understand you used a lot of the personal background of Mike Wallace. Tell us about the decision to do that.
Well, his personal story is really fascinating as well. So, and that really was, you know, kind of the beginning concept of this was telling his personal story and through, you know, to be able to really engage in a film, you have to be able to engage with a character, you know, at least for me. And I think that being able to connect to his personal story allows you to really go down this road of understanding, you know, kind of the bigger story of broadcast journalism, but in a kind of very personal and emotional way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What was most surprising in the filmmaking process, or going through all those, all the footage and all the stories?
I think getting to a deeper level of Mike, because mm-hmm. I think everybody knows him as this tough guy with, you know, a very tough persona who never backed down, who, you know, kind of controlled every interview that he did, and was always the guy on top. And understanding that he was a really vulnerable guy and kind of getting deep into that and understanding where does that come from somebody who had such a tough persona, mm-hmm. And who never wanted to talk about those vulnerabilities, and really, you know, scratching that surface and getting to understand, you know, that he was a very, you know, kind of vulnerable guy deep down.
Yeah, as you kind of went through this, I mean, we heard from Avi during the screening yesterday. I mean, I think that the first cut was 9 hours long.
Yeah.
So how did you, how are those decisions made in terms of what stays and what goes?
So, I mean, it's really what follows the story, what allows you to track the story best, because as you can imagine, having access to so much gold, being at the forefront of history, which 60 Minutes was, for, you know, the better part of the 20th century, we just had access to so many incredible historical moments, such incredible interview moments, and we wanted to, you know, it's balancing. How do you tell Mike's personal story? How do you tell, you know, this bigger story of broadcast journalism? But also, you want to have the greatest hits in there of those interviews that he did with the people that, you know, it was history happening right then, and it was all shot beautifully in 16 millimeter, and we had it all. So, this was a film where that was the toughest to make those decisions. But, you know, at the end, it was just balancing it out. If this scene, maybe it was the most incredible interview he did, but if it's not driving the narrative or the story, then, you know, it's got to go. And there were so many decisions like that.
Yeah, a couple of that I wanted to point out, and that was, of course, with the Ayatollah, and how, Mike, again, broke all the rules. I mean, he went in there with a list of questions that he got to ask, and then, of course, you know, his reporter sense came out, and it was like, but, and it, the Ayatollah just basically got up and walked out when he had had enough.
I think that they did, you know, kind of
stick to the script.
No, he definitely didn't stick to the script. I mean, you know, he asked him in a very artful way about how Sadat had called him a disgrace to Islam and a lunatic, which, you know, talking to this guy who, you know, had granted him this interview and wasn't giving anybody else any Western media interviews, and to be so bold to say that, and for us to be able to see that and see him pushing that question. The translator doesn't want to translate it, and he pushes him to say, it's a simple question, just ask him the question. It's just an incredible moment of history. And that's an example of, you know, the things that we had, because he was doing that for 50 years.
Yeah. And the other one was that we kind of see how 60 Minutes, and Don Hewitt in particular, did not back down in terms of moving forward with all kinds of, you know, the Westmoreland case, of course, was a big one in there, being sued for libel. But 60 Minutes did not back down until that Wiegand interview, the tobacco executive who was bound by a confidentiality agreement. But as soon as the Wall Street Journal did some investigation and found out that this executive had given testimony in another case, it was like a free-for-all then. That, again, being one of, you think, Wallace's really important interviews?
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
In telling the story of broadcast journalism about how we tell the story.
Yeah, well, I think that was so important, because it was kind of the backlash to, you know, his tough questions. It's the idea that now corporations can, or, you know, and people and entities in power can shut down news, and they can shut down a story. And that's why that was so you know, important in his story, but also so important in our story because, you know, it is showing us, you know, it's part of the road of where we're at right now.
I attended the panel where with the Atlantic magazine, and it was a panel with, of course, Avi and then Chris Wallace, Mike's son. And Avi had said that he didn't think President Trump would grant an interview with Mike Wallace today. However, Mike did talk to him years ago. Chris kind of said, no, I think he would, and because that's who Trump is.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I agree. I guess I agree with Chris. I understand Avi's instinct on that, but Chris has interviewed Trump several times and knows him. And I think that his point is that Trump very much admired Mike. I think that's what, you know, Chris was saying. And, you know, doesn't like to back down himself. Would he answer the questions that Mike asked? You know, who knows that? But, you know, I understand Avi's instinct, but I definitely trust Chris on that one.
Hmm. Yeah. And it wasn't, I mean, I think we do see from years ago that it's not the first time, you know, fake news has been talked about.
No, exactly. Which is why it's so important to, you know, understand where this comes from so that, you know, we can understand, you know, our current situation.
So what happens with the film from here?
Well, it's going to screen tonight at 9 p.m., I think, at the Temple Theater. I think it has three more screenings. I think there's another one on Wednesday afternoon at 4, and then I'm not sure the other.
Friday the 1st at 8:30 at the Mark.
Yes.
But in terms of national distribution, international distribution, has that happened at this point?
It has not yet. We are going to sell it, you know, hopefully at the festival. But yeah, that is still to be determined.
CBS doesn't want it, huh?
Well, that's also in the mix, so yeah. Just right now, there is no answer on that.
Okay, great. Anything else you'd like to tell us about it?
No, I just think it's I think it's a very important, relevant movie for right now that I think is important for people to see.
That's the producer of Mike Wallace is here, Rafael Marmor. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.